Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Oh, sure I can have a baby after 45. Let me throw these chicken bones.
I never thought I'd have a blonde American wife. But when I brought you that ranch dressing, I knew I'd be your dipping sauce for life. I booked a dream vacation on a tropical isle. I only wanted to bone. Oh, how could I have known that I'd quite wind up knocked up and really pissed? Oh, love in paradise, we're planting a banana tree. Love in paradise, have you heard of polyamory? I swear that I can see forever in your giant dick. Love in paradise.
It's the size of my arm. Fade it, Gary. Wonderful, it, wonderful. Gary.
Y'all, I am furious. I'm angry, and I'm furious because we literally just got back from tour. I mean, we landed on the plane.
We got out of LAX, and we're here at my apartment.
Yes,
doing
we got out of the car. We came up here, and we were like, we got to do this fucking show.
My neighbor bothered us.
Which we're happy to do because we love Love in Paradise.
We do.
We're tired, but we love this show. But I just got an email from the hotel, and you ate $200 worth of penis. At the hotel, $200 worth of penis that I had to pay for.
You fucked up that joke, so you're so tired. You fucked up. You almost said peanuts.
No, I said penis.
No, never mind.
Maybe. I'm tired. And penis. It still made you laugh. It was worth it.
No, I anticipated.
Anyway, y'all, I guess I'm going to have to pay for that.
The hotel says there was too much penis in his room.
Too much penis in your business partner's room. You are not invited back at the Denver Moxie. No, thank you.
I need to say this about this hotel. Y'all, they have on the walls like little hanging chairs that you can unfold and a table that unfolds. There's no room for a desk.
It is like a small, people that live in those small houses, but a hotel room.
Tiny houses.
Tiny houses, that's it.
Yeah, that's not what I want in my hotel. I'm just going to say that
I
now.
I think you, when you moved the table and you realize it wasn't that
I moved
secure.
The table and it fell over and coffee went everywhere. And it wasn't the best start to my morning.
No.
I screamed, fuck, 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 then kicked my suitcase.
You get violent when you get really angry.
I do.
You like to kick or hit
I'm not going to hurt other people,
no,
usually.
No, things, though.
Doesn't mean I don't want to.
You have tried to kick me before.
Yeah, you needed it.
Wow.
As my mother poodle would say, you knew you needed it. Yo, this is Lip.
I love that you accidentally butt dialed your mother, and she immediately texted you.
What's wrong?
What's wrong?
I saw it happen. I was like, no, no, no. I can't talk to you right now. I'm leaving the apartment. Is everything fine?
My mother would say, hey, baby, did you call? And your mom just says, what's wrong?
No. I butt FaceTimed her. It was even worse, I never FaceTime her.
So she felt like you were in a car accident trying to call her?
Yes. Mother. Bird, are you okay? Why are you FaceTiming me? Is there something wrong with your face?
You don't want me to see. I'm your mother, Jay Bird. Show me. Oh, Father Poodle, his nose is gone. Anyway.
Did you get a face tattoo?
All right, y'all.
This
Love
episode
Paradise.
Is called Mixed Signals and Mixed Nuts.
Great movie. Loved it. Great Christmas movie.
You mean Mixed Nuts, not Mixed Signals
don't
and
know
Mixed
that
Nuts.
Movie.
I'm sure it's
Yeah, I don't think it's a movie. But y'all,
it's a Christmas movie about a suicide hotline. And I'm like, who greenlit this?
Nora Ephron.
No, she wrote it.
I think she directed it too.
Oh, I don't know.
I know she
wrote
it.
But the studio greenlit it, so she didn't do anything like that.
It's the movie has got its own character. Okay, so
maybe you saw it at a time. I don't remember it enthralling me. I know Madeline Kahn was really great in it.
It's the reason why I fell in love with Madeline Kahn, and then what led me to watch Clue, because I'd never seen Clue before, and this was in high school.
How was that your gateway to Madeline Kahn?
I don't know, but I'd
and
never
not
seen
Clue.
I'd never seen Clue before, and then I'd heard.
How
it, but I'd
old
never,
were you?
Like this was like when I was like 15, 14.
No, that's about right.
Yeah, freshman high.
Why were you watching Mixed Nuts as a 13 or 14 year old?
Love Steve Martin, because my parents would, anytime there was the old reruns of SNL on, because my parents loved it from the 70s,
okay.
They would watch it and they'd say, come watch. And so, like,
I see.
I grew up with Two Wild and Crazy Guys, King Tut, all that Steve Martin stuff. I'd love to see him and Martin Short tour. They're touring right now, but. We are too, but we're not anymore, y'all, because summer should be done.
Summer
and it is.
Should be done. The Live, Laugh, Love / Summer Should Be Fun tour has been put to bed.
It's been put to bed.
Like several men that I saw.
It's true. Poodle got dick down. We all had laughs.
You got your nails painted.
And I got my nails done. Yeah, you got fucked, and I got a manicure. So that's where we are. And but no, we had a great time. Denver, you need more highways in your city.
Okay.
But other than that,
I'm
Denver.
I don't want to say much about this because I don't want to belabor it. But I've been to a lot of cities.
I know.
Few have the problematic infrastructure that we experienced in Denver.
I very rarely bitch about traffic because it really, I don't get that upset about traffic.
I complained about it the whole time.
But that's kind of the norm. You complain about traffic in every city the whole time.
But this was trafficy for no reason.
But this, I agree, is a badly designed system.
Yeah.
It's inefficient.
Y'all need to rally and like run for city council in Denver or something.
Yes.
Fix your infrastructure. Something is wrong.
Other than that, love Denver. The people were really nice.
They were lovely.
Really good food. Beautiful city. Just takes forever to get around.
And the theater didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Oh, yeah, y'all.
So, y'all, you know when you see me backstage and I'm going, okay, and I'm just trying to process and my eyes are as big as saucers.
It was, of course, our last show and, bless Poodle's heart, the biggest tech shit show.
Yeah, and I had a fucking Teamster up there trying to tell me what he was going to do and what he was not going to do.
It's why we're
and
not
y'all, you don't
using,
argue with the Teamster.
Even though we have a Love in Paradise new theme song, we're not playing it because Poodle and I refuse to play that right now because we couldn't hear the music, so we were off on the track.
Yeah.
And I will not play that again for y'all.
No, I wrote it the day of, and
it's
good.
We will re-record it at another time. But not next week, y'all, because we're going on vacation.
We're going on vacay.
So we're going to be Lip is probably there's only two shows we're going to go back and cover, and that's going to be Lip, and it's going to be 90 Day Fiancé UK, which premieres next week. Other than that, all of our other shows, y'all,
you get a
on
week
Patreon,
off
on Classless, we're taking the week off.
And you also, you're going to get maybe a when we come back, you'll get like a little well, here's what we missed, like a little 5-minute explanation of the episode.
You know, knowing our luck, like the biggest thing on 90 Day Fiancé is going to happen next week.
I know. Well, we are doing tomorrow.
That's true, but yeah, the week, because will the week come back be like one, will that be the penultimate episode?
I think it's going to be longer, because remember Happily Ever After was announced,
it premieres
the 29th of August, so it's that we've got another month.
Oh yeah, 17 episodes I think we've got.
Yeah, we've got another month.
Oh, good, good, good. Then we won't. It hopefully will be a slog, and we won't miss too much. Emily's not pregnant with another baby.
The week when we're off, it is Emily goes to the OB
and has triplets are coming,
and they have a fight. Ari and Beanie ride bumper cars. Kara and Guillermo have a pre-counseling wedding session.
Bilal and Shida go skydiving in the middle of the air. He hands her the prenup again, thinking maybe she can read it better.
And then she pulls open the parachute, and it's a bunch of like silverware.
It's in cartoons. You can use my parachute.
Remember that was in the cartoons? They would open the, and it was just a bunch of silverware that came out.
Yep.
It was like Wile E. Coyote would do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always felt sorry for him.
We don't have time. I wish I could say
that Roadrunner was a bitch.
We don't have oxygen, but we can't.
To think about it.
My friend,
he just wanted to murder the Roadrunner.
It's true. I think you know JP, don't you? Yeah. He just got married. Yeah, he voices Wile E. Coyote now. He did it in the newest Space Jam movie, I think.
Good for him.
Well, I know. Well, I like that it's. I kind of like that it's a gay man playing him, because if you look back, Wile E. Coyote was always a persnickety gay man.
And it was homophobia perpetuated on him, especially by the Acme Company.
Let's just move on.
We need to move on.
Y'all, let's jump into this. So thank you again for your support. We appreciate it. Now, let's
thank
get back to normal life.
Thank you all for seeing us on tour. We loved beating everybody. And even the megaphones. Even the megaphones who screamed out things.
All right, y'all.
I'm gonna invent a seat ejector for those megaphones. I know. Just shoot them to the roof.
That was funny. Okay, Danielle and Johan.
Okay.
God, he looked good this episode, didn't he?
He does, but he believes there's really witches. I think he's a little dense to or sheltered or extremely sheltered
or both.
Yeah.
I want a yes and that. I think both.
I think Daniel's like, okay. She's like, I think she thought he was being joking until the end. He's like, no, in his confessional, no, witches come in, witches drink babies, the blood of babies. Yes. And it's a very, very serious thing.
Santa Claus is real, y'all.
And we all went, okay.
Now, I know culturally.
Big Dick Wonder.
Because what is the name? There was a horror movie. There's something called
you're going to get this wrong.
From I don't know if it's South America. I don't know what type of Latinx culture, but there's
Llorona? La Llorona?
Is it
the
La
woman?
Llorona?
That's the Southwest. That's Mexican.
Oh, it is. But isn't that the same? Like, isn't that about children? Like a woman?
No.
There was a, because.
Don't try it.
But just. No, I'm asking sissies to come at us and let us know, because I know there's a cultural, because basically a guy used to work with was into horror movies, and he was telling me about it because he was dating a girl at the time who was from Mexico, I believe.
Yeah.
And she was, and so they were working on this horror movie, and it's about a woman like sucking the blood of children.
I think that's Llorona, I think.
Anyway, so maybe there's all these different tales.
Yep. The Weeping Woman, who warms Rhone's waterfront areas, mourning the children she drowned. I don't know if she sucks children's blood.
But what only reason I bring that up, but I think it is literally, it's not like a, this is the same as someone saying, here I think in the U, at least for me, I want to know if it's the same as someone in the U.S. saying, I believe in Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, and like the Big Bad Wolf, or like ogres under my bed.
Yeah,
it's like that type of children's fairy tale.
Yes.
The fact that he
still believes it.
I'm just like,
and does it with an extremely serious face.
And I'm just, and I thought, okay, you get what you deserve.
This is another red flag that she takes notice of, But she just brushes aside.
Well, I think, honestly, that she brings it up. Because
the dick flag is big enough.
It's true, but I still think she brings up a part of her self-sabotage. Because she knows he thinks that already. Because she's already brought up about witch stuff.
I agree.
But before that, y'all.
He ate all the peanuts. I could not stop laughing. When I'm laughing and I think something is really funny, especially on camera, not really funny to me, I kept writing, bah-ha-ha, oh my God. And she keeps bringing up the peanuts because, you guys, the one thing that her martyrdom can't get away from is to keep mentioning how much of her money he is spending. And it really bothers him, and she doesn't really care.
She doesn't care. And he even says, I love that he said, you know, he said, if I'm hungry at 4 a.m., I'm going to eat. Now, I get it. He's dense enough that he's not thinking.
Right.
He should, because he works at a resort. He should know better that this is very... Everybody knows that the food in there is very expensive.
I guarantee you there are Kind bars at the little store.
I agree.
That resort.
I will say, like...
Get you some Kind bars, y'all.
I feel like Johan, not in Danielle's defense, but just if Johan seems like he makes
a man-child, too.
Little effort as possible to do really any... Because he probably thinks, I'm cute, I'm pretty, I have a huge dick. That's all I have to do is dick someone down.
Yeah.
I really think that's what he thinks and teach them how to... Fucking salt.
I think nothing has really ever been expected of him past that.
No. So. He has a family of four sisters.
Yep.
What do you
think? They do everything.
He's been babied his entire life.
Right.
To do whatever he wants to do.
He makes a living. Everything. He makes money. Everything else has been taken care of for him.
Exactly.
So if there's food around.
Clean, nothing.
So it makes sense that he should get peanuts. I got to tell y'all, just get some Kind bars. I can't tell you. Put them in your suitcase. It's going to help you.
All right, Samantha Brown.
I loved her travel shows.
I still follow her Instagram.
She's still around?
Her Instagram is great.
Good for her.
You're going to love this. She gave a tip, and I shared it to my Instagram. Some sissies liked it. And basically, she said, if you're traveling with children, when they tell you at the first...
God bless your soul.
If you're traveling with a spouse or significant other, there's two of you, when they say you can load the plane first, instead of taking your child... Have the other partner take the car seat and everything they can, and they go in the plane and load it up. And then while you're sitting on the plane for 30 minutes waiting for everybody who's stressed and their energy on the plane and your kids, but the other partner has the baby running them all around the airport, getting them tired out, and then just bring them on the plane on the last group to board.
That's a great
sit
idea.
Down and then you go.
That's a great idea.
Isn't it, Samantha Brown? Passport to fun.
Yo, run those babies out of their energy.
Love her.
Ain't nobody want to hear your baby on a flight.
Although this flight, there's a crying baby about four blocks or rows behind me. But it was like a 2-month-old baby. And it makes it like,
oh, God.
That cry's cute to me.
Nope. It's all noise.
It's cute to me. I just wanted to hold it. So
there should be flights that are adults only.
Johan does say to her, he said, you know, you keep saying that you have to pay. He said, I'm not an idiot. That's questionable. But he says, I know that I can't pay for it.
Yeah.
Thanks for reminding me all the time.
The thing about it is, I'm sure this is not the first time he is telling her this.
No.
And the thing about her response is always defensive. Like, well, I am paying. Instead of... I know this bothers you. She said it in her confessional, but not to him. Because, y'all, she's still chewing her lip over those $200 of peanuts.
Yeah.
This is why this whole charade that she's going to live in the DR. So happy and be so away from this.
That's when it comes out. She's not in love with him.
No.
He's her... Big Dick Island guy.
And she's going to get bored with
that
it.
She can leave life with and run away from
but
all
I'm saying,
of her problems.
There's no way in hell she'll be happy living in the DR.
Oh.
If she can't, if she just constantly sweats about the $200 of peanuts.
She'll last 6 months.
Yeah, I agree.
6 months.
I find her, like, I was talking
What's
about
she
this
do
at
for
the,
money?
Yeah. I know, exactly. I was talking about this at the live show. I am shocked we have not had a complete snotty crying meltdown from her yet.
It's coming. This is episode, what was this? six. There's usually...
Yeah.
Well, no.
I'm a little disappointed in her. I expected... Well, hi, Bessie.
We don't know what they're going to have because they had eight episodes last season because it was streaming. However, it did really well, and then it did well. So I could see them giving us like 10 episodes to this.
Maybe.
We don't know, y'all, because Discovery tells us nothing. So we're with y'all on this. Cut to, we just got back from tour and we're doing this show. I will say, Danielle is the epitome of the someone who is worried about the wrong things.
Yeah.
Meaning, y'all, this fucking saging of the car.
And saying Psalm 23.
I just wrote, honey, you're worried about the wrong stuff in life. I think Danielle, I realized in watching this, I went, oh, she actually really can't worry or deal with the real things in life. So she busies her mind with these silly little ancillary things like, and I'm not saying the religion of it's silly, so I'm not saying that, but the way she treats it, she busies her mind with saging the car. She busies her mind with planting the banana tree. She busies her mind with
right.
Because she really doesn't want to face the fact of, I'm 48 years old. I don't have enough money.
Yep.
How are we going to have a baby? Because she can't be an adult to deal with that.
She's doing the same thing that she criticized Johan for doing with his religion. She is completely trusting something that is outside herself. But at the same time, it seems desperate, and it seems like she doesn't really trust it down to her core.
No.
It's just all desperate. Everything she is doing, you guys, is a sign of a desperate person. And it's not easy to watch, which is why not a lot of us have a lot of love for this person.
No.
And it's do you know what when she's talking about? She's talking about, now I can't, she's like, you want some peanuts? She's like, I can't eat peanuts. And she's like, it's taboo. And he's talking about his church, and he's kind of like, what the fuck? You yelled at me about eating peanuts and my church and everything like that, but you won't eat peanuts? So,
but at the same time, though, she's judging him for thinking that witches are real and people thinking in his faith witches are real.
Right.
And he probably thinks it's just as fucking crazy that he, like he mentioned before with the banana tea, is in a tree in a country where people need food and that someone can't eat a peanut because it's against their religion.
Right.
That sounds just as crazy to
Not
him.
Not because she has an allergy, but because her spiritual advisor said, peanuts aren't for you right now.
Y'all, God made peanuts. Eat them if you want.
But no, not if you have a severe peanut allergy.
No, even if you have a peanut allergy.
I've made fun of this before, y'all, but when I pick up kids or pick up my my nephew and something like, or like daycare centers, the anti-peanut imagery yes. But no, like it's like whole, like not just talk about it, like signs that have like a picture of Mr. Peanut with the red thing in it, and it's like those are like hated. It's like werewolves in Eastern Europe.
I bet you $1 million the sunflower industry is behind it to make sunflower butter.
I'll never forget walking into my niece's daycare at the time, and it was just anti-peanut propaganda everywhere.
It makes you wonder. Were kids just dying all the time when we were kids for peanut butter? Because we had peanuts
everywhere.
That's
a really
everywhere.
Good point.
It wasn't.
That's a good point.
Or the allergies just happened more. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm struck by the imagery. There's a lot of cartoon versions of Mr. Peanut in different versions. And like they're slashing his throat, basically.
Again, y'all.
It's weird.
Mr. Peanut was gay.
And quite a snob.
He was the Oscar Wilde of nuts. Just walk around with a top hat and a cane.
Mr. Planters.
Yeah, because, you know, they called him Planters.
Quite
effete.
He
planted seed.
No, he was Big Bottom.
Really?
Yeah, I was taking it.
I think Mr. Peanut's more of a top.
You know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe he was a very, very, it was a blouse.
Yeah.
He was a fancy top.
Yeah, fancy top.
Yeah, I get that.
I like that.
Anyway. So, y'all, 4 days to get married.
They're driving to go see his mom.
They're driving down the highway, and we're going to see his parents.
They're going to think I'm a rich American woman, which is what I want them to think. No, it's true.
No running water!
No running water. She does, though. She's like, I'm just worried they're going to think of me as a rich American woman. And I went,
yeah.
That's exactly the way you and want them to gonna think say, of you.
And I was going to say, and that's exactly what you project.
That's 100% what you want to be seen as, Danielle, because then you're seen as powerful.
You know what's so interesting? I think she thought she was going to come on this show and be an object of empathy for people, a woman who is finding a new, getting her third act in life and finding this hot Dominican lover. And she's finding her chance, where everyone is kind of like, you're close to Karen-ing kind of pretty much all the way through here.
Yeah.
And
and a huge hypocrite.
Yeah. And I think it's going to severely backfire for her.
Yeah.
I think she may have been one of the people who really thought she would be liked.
Yeah.
On this show.
I agree with that.
And it has not, I don't read, most of what I see is either in our Facebook group or in Reddit. And in both of those places, she is not well liked.
No.
So I have a feeling if that's a general sampling.
Sometimes people don't like that. I think that's the reason why Mary and Brittany aren't smothered anymore. I think she didn't like the edit.
The edit.
That's the only reason, because everybody loves it. Y'all, Mary just followed us on Instagram.
Oh, so it's such an exciting time to be alive.
Is dating someone.
Man?
A man.
Wow.
A very cute black man.
Are we sure it's a man?
Well, I mean, he might have been, but okay. No, looks like a man. And okay. She uses the he pronouns on Instagram.
All right.
There's pictures of him like, with their hands on top of each other on her leg. She has very dark black hair now.
I love being in a relationship.
Her Instagram says, like, the black-haired girl. She has dark black hair, and she has bangs.
God,
Brittany. I miss them so much.
What's going to go with my sleeve?
I posted a picture because she's friends with Dave from Dave and Lana of 90 Day Fiancé. David. They're friends in real life before the show.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway. We do go to his house and I think this is also when she's saying things like, I think she's trying to educate us as the audience about the Dominican Republic. And she's like, you know, the Dominican Republic is a paradise for tourists, but not for the people who live here. And she kind of gets a little Sally Struthers tone in her voice.
Yeah.
And it feels really gross.
It feels even grosser when she turns vicious because she thinks she's going to have to pay for it.
And so she says there's no running water, two bathrooms with no running water.
What did she do for work again? She said, and I don't remember.
Teacher.
Oh, she's a teacher. Yeah.
And he basically says, when I leave my job at the resort, it's a different world that I come back to. And it's a different, it's such an, if you take these two confessionals back to back, he's actually being honest without really a lot of intent, without trying to make us think a certain way. Mm-hmm. He's just basically saying, this is how I feel. Mm-hmm. She's trying to talk to the audience and change our thinking.
Yeah.
And it's such a dialectic here between those two.
Because he says, y'all, do we think Johan actually loves her? I don't.
I don't.
I think he likes her.
I don't think it's that. I don't think love is very complex for him.
I agree with that.
I think love is transactional. Love is whoever you're in front of that you can fuck. I think love is whoever's the best boat to take you to where you want to go. Yeah. I think that's love for him. That's why I find it's not that I don't think that's a reasonable question, but I don't think it's very effective with a lot of 90 Day Fiancés. Like if I asked if Annie, her first season with David, does Annie love David? And I would say yes. In a way that she loves him, there may be a goal behind it.
I actually think she has more though what American love though than Johan, because she talks though in that first
that's
season
true
about how kind he is to her.
Yeah,
and, like, she gets emotional.
But
Johan looks at her to me as just kind of like there's not this infatuation with her.
Yeah,
the way she has with him, and he even said, you know, of course, everyone wants to live in the U.S. because that's where you go to make your dreams come true. And I'm like, well, that's not really true for everybody, but he believes that.
I agree. I would say that both of these people's sincerities about love are about at the same level. I think for what she thinks love is, she hasn't really thought it out.
I think, honestly, both of them kind of love each other the same way.
Yeah.
In that who they're in love with is they're in love with more of the life that person can give them.
And the symbol of that.
So clearly they haven't talked about this.
No. Nope.
He wants to go to the U.S. and she's like, oh, I want to live here. It's warmer.
And you see, she's like, and it's I don't have to pay rent. And you just see his family go, what bitch?
What bitch? And she's like, I pay $4,000 a month in New York for rent. And they all
what
just go.
What an entitled bitch to talk about this. I when she's saying that, I'm like, stop. Do you hear yourself? Do you hear yourself?
I wonder where her child lives. Because remember, y'all, Sherry has a kid.
That's right. I think they're grown.
But they're grown. But still, I'm like, your kid lives in New York and you just want to move to the DR?
None of this has been thought out. None of this.
She's running away, y'all. Running away.
Run away.
But yes, she wants that paradise life. And she's like, I just want to be old and do yoga on the beach.
And y'all, meanwhile, someone's saying, can we bring in some more running water from the cistern and back?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just the tone deafness with which she's talking to these people and the way she says, like, she's like, I think I'm just going to live here. And the aunt's like, well, it would be really better for him to be in the U.S. because he's always dreamed of that.
And we make no money.
We make no money. So it would be helpful. And then she in a confession is like, it's hard because I really want to love Johan. But then I think sometimes, is he just in it for my money or just to go to the U.S.? No, that's just what his aunt said to you.
That's just what I love. That
dumbass.
They paired that quote right after the aunt also said, I'm 52 and I've been working since I was 11 and I have
nothing.
I
pay $4,000 a month
for rent.
It's just the utter tone deafness of it. It hurts my brain with this woman.
The woman has the empathy of a rock.
I really do believe she thought people would identify with her and understand her story. And I think it's been the opposite.
It's been the opposite. The opposite.
That's all I really have.
All right. We're going to take a little break. If you're listening on the free feed, this is later months down the road. But for the Patreon, obviously, we're just going to keep on going.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No. The doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long, but yes, they are so soft, and the more you wash them, the softer they get, and they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Caw!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song, To All Our Queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey, our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, Queens.
Carlos and Valentine.
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 Capital V, little A, capital L.
Carlos Valentine. Is just walking around. I never thought I could be so happy. He's just walking
says, I'm at peace with myself.
Yes.
And they're going, you guys.
I'm coming out of my shell for Valentine. Barranquilla is a conservative city. And we're going to
Santa Marta.
I'm going to come out of my shell. We're going to go to Santa Marta.
Which is a more progressive town. And I thought the way this started, I was like, this is nice. We're going to share part of your history with Valentine. And we're going to get to see, and he Valentine has been kind of critical about how Carlos isn't letting him be liberated sexually.
Mm-hmm.
So they're obviously, so it seems like Carlos is trying to do something that might make things a little easier for Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns a little bit into, it's like, so that's where you went first. He's like, no, blah, blah, blah. He's like, it seems like you don't even know anything about me. And that, he does turn, he does to a 180 on a dime. Two things are true here. Does Valentine really listen?
No.
Does Carlos get upset when Valentine doesn't hit every bit of his history? Yes. Now, what this is a symbol of, you guys, is Valentine has never been in a relationship where he's had to really get to know the other person.
Yeah, probably not.
I will follow that up later.
Because, y'all, Valentine is pretty self-absorbed.
Yep, completely.
He's not like a narcissist, not like class. So I don't want to use that word unless we really think someone is.
But conversation is pretty surface.
But it's very surface, and a deep conversation to Valentine, I don't think has a lot of details. That said, like, you know, the thing with Valentine is that, and with Carlos, there is, like, Danielle, she's not likable to me at all.
No.
Valentine and Carlos, they are completely wrong for each other. They communicate terribly. And you can also, though, tell that they're both not people who intentionally hurt other people. They're just kind of so wrapped up in their own world.
They're unconsciously doing
So there is, like, to me, there is a likability to that in them. I guess that's not probably the
I don't
right
like
word.
Either of them, but that's okay.
But I don't have a strong reaction to them the way I do like
Danielle. No, I agree. It's more innocuous. I think of them as kind of bumbling. Both of them are bumbling in this relationship.
It seems harmless. I don't think they're both where Danielle it's harmless. Feels
yeah,
like
you're right.
She wants to intentionally take she wants to manipulate
No,
Johan.
She's going to fuck up his life.
Where they don't know that they're doing that to one another.
No,
at all.
I agree with you.
The bumbling,
I agree with you.
I think, is a good word for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they're just bumbling into this relationship because neither one of them, the relationship that one wants, that each of them want, is nothing that the other is going to be able to give them.
Yes, and I think actually the problem with both of them is they both don't really have any awareness of themselves.
Yeah.
They're working towards that, I'm sure, but it's like when Carlos says, the problem is that we're both so much alike. They think they're both so
That's not true.
They both think they're so much alike because they're both, quote, tops. That's the only thing they have in common.
That whole dominant thing that they keep talking about, you guys.
Carlos is going to be a bottom. And I still call it.
I want to move away from that because I don't think it's fair to talk about.
I think you explore more, but regardless of that, I could see that. But regardless of that, they are nothing alike. That's the point I was getting to.
But what I want to talk about is I don't think Valentine has ever spent 4 to 5 days consecutively with one person. And I think this idea of being dominant.
Oh, I think he probably has gone on vacations with people and things like that. You don't think ever?
Not with how he is behaving here.
I mean, no. It does seem like Valentine is not not used to being with people.
Let me clarify. I would question whether the relationships he has been in is if how much time he actually spends with that person, or does he see that person, they go to their separate abodes, and he sees that person whenever he wants to see them.
I think, I can see where you're going with this. I think that probably Valentine, just because I know, like, Valentine reminds me a lot of, like, not all, but guys, one reason why, just a lot of that, like, WeHo gym guy surface level, and they would date people, but you know how they would date? I remember one of my friends who was this beautiful guy, and he wasn't this surfacey gym WeHo guy, but he was dating this gym WeHo guy, and he came over and to his house, and we sat there, and there was nothing. We were trying to engage in conversation.
Right.
There was nothing he could talk about. He was just kind of like, just saying normal, just a kind of like, just basically not even anything that contributes to a conversation, just the random shit that everybody says about whatever people are talking about in the zeitgeist right then at that moment. But just pretty brain dead. But, and I talked to him, my friend later, who's really smart, and I said, what kind of conversations do you have? And he's like, oh, we talk about, like, other guys that are hot. We talk about, like, different workouts. And literally I told my friend, I'm like, you're not that person at all. He was like, I know, but his ass is so cute. And I'm like, well, then I can't help you. But I think Valentine is used to having those type of conversations.
I agree, but I think...
And he's just surprised by Carlos because of this phone conversation. Now
right.
It's like, Carlos is a raw, wounded nerve of emotion that I just want to talk about it.
But let me tell you some things that give him away, and I'm gonna be Clarence Darrow here.
Okay.
Things that he says is, I feel like you're taking my independence.
Oh yeah, that's complete bullshit. Yeah.
No, but think it is revelatory in what it means for him.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He also says, you need to give me some space. Again, y'all, they've been here for like 5 to 6 days together.
Well, no. He came here to be with him.
Yes.
So it's like saying, hey, let me come to you to have a vacation. I need space from you.
But that's what I'm saying.
Which is kind of a poodle move.
It is. I know this. But what I'm saying is that is this. Carlos has an emotional energy where he wants to be vulnerable and share. Valentine can't take a lot of that.
No.
It's not comfortable for him.
Yeah.
And so what happens is he lets all of that irritate. Now, if Carlos was like whistling in the car with me, I would say, you know what? I'm not going to get pissed off and say you need to stop doing that. It's really irritating, because unless I'm at the only reason I would do that is if I am already so annoyed by someone being in my space. And that is exactly where Valentine is.
No, that's where he is. This is how their phone conversation, unless it was like phone sex and they were like jerking off together,
I think,
or whatever,
that was 50% of it.
But I think it was a lot of it. I think all their phone conversations had to deal with, Valentine would call Carlos whenever he was doing something at home on the pro. He'd put him in his earbuds. Or y'all, you know, you have that friend. They put you in their earbuds or they put you on speakerphone and they're always doing something while you're there. They're the person that
I hate that. I get off the phone with people when they do that.
They're the person on speakerphone at the grocery store, grocery shopping, talking. That is Valentine.
Horrifying. Those people are monsters.
Those are people that always can't just sit and talk to someone.
Yeah.
You have to be a witness to their life and doing. And I say that because they're halfway listening to you,
right?
Whereas Carlos is sitting at home on his bed, twirling his hair,
doodling hearts of a notebook,
and listening to every single fucking word Carlos says or Valentine says.
So that's what I'm saying.
Valentine can't get away from that. He can't go into a grocery store
and
he's got to sit and look at him.
And that's why
you're right. He's sick of him.
He's sick of him.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying, relationship history wise, that's why I would doubt that he's ever been on vacation spending so much time with one person who is as emotional, and I wouldn't say as emotional. I would say, excuse me, plain air, y'all dried my voice out. Who is as kind of emotionally curious about him as anybody else. Everybody else has kind of been like, we're fucking, So, and this is kind of a relationship, but I'm going to go to, so.
When you, also they were probably poly.
Exactly.
So they were cruising guys together as well.
Exactly. So, and I'm not going to say all polyamory, you guys, is about trying to keep yourself from being vulnerable.
Well, no, I don't think Valentine classifies as polyamory anyway.
But I'm saying that is sometimes the defensive mechanism for gay men to do that.
Yeah.
So that's why this everything became so clear to me, which I had suspected pretty much all the time. We've said this before. We did not want to make a judgment on what Valentine calls polyamory, but we're pretty much saying he likes to just fuck everybody. Yeah. And next week, there's already a preview when he's like, I'm going to talk to Carlos about polyamory and we're going to get this really started. And if it's not going to work, it's not going to work. Can you imagine?
This is the first time they meet. They act when they have conversations. Carlos acts like I just met you, what we see in real time.
Yeah.
And Valentine acts like he's been seeing him like in person for 2 years in a 2 year relationship.
I think you flipped that.
Valentine.
Yeah, and Carlos.
Yeah, Valentine acts like he's been with him like in person for 2 years. And in the way they act. Carlos acts
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a new relationship but the way Valentine even talks to Carlos, it's like they've been together 5 days. It's like they've been together for 5 years in the same place.
He's
and
like,
the fact that he's now next week, like, it's time to open this up. I'm like, I see what you're saying.
But that's why it's I'm trying not to criticize his, because I don't know him, but I'm gauging on everything I see, and I know men like this. Everything is for some type of, when relationships are there, it's done as a convenience.
No, I'm telling you.
Then for sex.
Yeah, I know it just because I've seen it so much in people living that, not everyone, but people living that kind of WeHo gym life.
Yep, I agree.
And the problem with that is I'm never actually happy where I'm at because there's always something prettier.
Ding, 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 ding.
There's always something better.
So it's...
Which we're kind of in that as a culture now, which is why it's really hard for people to commit. Good luck if you're dating. Fun.
Carlos kind of says, you just really surprised me with you in the car and every time, because he basically says, Valentine's like, I can't wait to take a nice shower because now... Carlos is very sensitive about everything you say about Colombia. It is not a nice thing. Can't wait to take a nice shower. It does. I would hear that as, so my shower is shitty. I would hear that. It's kind of hard not to.
Yeah, I would hear that too. But that on top of Carlos hears everything as
he does. Because
Carlos isn't secure with the person he is. So everything is this. I'm being so hurt.
What do you think of someone, they've been together maybe 7 or 8 days by now? Probably not even that long.
Mm-hmm.
And he just goes, leave me alone.
Yeah. It's not good. And Carlos just walks out. And then later.
Which I would too if someone said that. I would have left before. I would have left when he was being shitty in the car.
It just would have gotten out. I'm a grown ass man. Ugh. Fall back. When he walks out, and then later at the beach, Carlos is sitting there and he said, you know, it's been a week, and then Valentine comes out dressed in a very red outfit. It's all red, and Carlos is like, he looks so cute.
I don't love the monochrome outfits either.
Love that at all.
Yeah.
But Carlos said something that I thought was very telling. Is he said, we used to fight all the time over the phone. I went, oh, that's the first time we've heard this. And then he followed that with, and I thought in person it would be easier. So it's that same thinking of, if I get married, we'll calm down. If we have a baby.
If we have a baby, it'll fix it.
And so... Now they went,
y'all, baby's never going to fix nothing.
So this made sense. They both knew what they were getting. Because I think we've all been thinking, were they not prepared for what they're receiving from one another when they actually met in person? No. I think they both knew exactly what they were going to be getting. I think Valentine did too. I think Carlos did too. But for some reason, they both had this idea that they wanted to meet. And I was trying to think, why did they think they just want to meet each other?
Because they thought the physical connection would fix it.
Oh, it's because they just want to fuck each other.
Yes, yes.
That is literally why it took the whole trip, whatever, is to just fuck.
And get naked.
And guess what? Valentine got naked with him, had a good time. They both had big dicks.
But they didn't really get what they wanted.
And so now he's done, and he's ready to move on, and he's going to go back to New York. And
L.A.
He's from New York, but in L.A. now, and they're going to break up.
Yep. What was interesting, and Valentine keeps saying, I feel like you're trying to control me. Again, I went off on this on another podcast, and we talked about it last night in Denver, because they're like, people are like, you're so controlling. No, Bilal is controlling.
That's the denominator. That's what I used to know. I was like, if you want to know controlling, it's Bilal.
Bilal is a gaslighter. Bilal is controlling.
Like,
use
Bilal,
that as your rubric.
Can't really talk about him very much anymore, but Paul is controlling.
Yes, yes.
That is controlling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big Ed is controlling.
Big Ed is controlling.
And, but this is not controlling. This is bickering about things that you're saying, no, I think you should take a right here.
Yeah.
This is both of you, as you say, trying to be dominant. And when he says,
yeah, Mark from Mark and Nikki is controlling.
Yes, that's controlling. Don't put your fingerprints on my window. Y'all, remember where you are when you heard that and your blood turned to ice water in your veins?
Yes.
And you went, oh, this motherfucker's crazy.
Crazy.
But I'm saying,
you're right, though. That's a good distinction.
This is bickering. And also, this is when he says you're controlling, that means I control everything. Because I normally set things.
Well, it is very much, Carlos thinks it's like we're both dominant. It's just that Carlos can't hear any, even in a constructive type of criticism way, Carlos immediately takes it as an attack.
But I'm saying Valentine said that.
I know, but I mean Carlos
does too. I see
too.
What you're saying.
So I think that they don't want to hear anybody. Neither of them wants to hear anybody else's
opinion.
Isn't
it interesting that it's never... The phrase is, you're controlling if I'm not controlling 100%. It's like the only dialectic that's allowed for them is that one person controls everything and the other plays along.
They look at things in top, bottom, black, white, or not black, but yeah. And Valentine says, he says, you know, that's where he says, I want to take my power back because I thought you had too much, which is a weird way to look at relationships, honestly. And
it's hard for me to listen to him talk.
If you're looking at a relationship and you're using the word power, I don't know how much actual love is there between both people.
Yeah, especially after a week.
Yeah, and so, and he said, because when Carlos comes at me, I feel powerless. And then he goes into this whole rant about growing up.
Maybe talk about why, and he did, but maybe that's a therapeutic way for you to think about maybe you're not powerless. Maybe change the equation.
Yeah, I don't think he's there.
Because
I think he's there. I think actually he's doing what people do a lot. And I see this like when they do therapy and they learn about their past. I hate it when people have the awareness and then they weaponize the past to shame their partner's present.
And that is so important. Say that again. Weaponizing the past to shame your partner's present.
Because I feel like if you have this awareness of why you do something, it's not for your partner to fix
it.
It's for you to fix it.
Yeah.
He should say, like you said, he should go into and say, I wonder why. Is this the same as when I felt powerless as a child?
And
what's different?
And maybe this isn't powerlessness. Maybe you're here and you're not my father.
Sorry, I forget we're on a podcast. I just pointed
you
my
did.
Head and put it like, yes.
Like Leopold. You did. You gave me a cue. But that's what it feels like. He is justifying. He's like, so that's why I'm treating you shitty.
That's why I'm treating you shitty. It's because of my past.
Y'all, if you're in a relationship with a Valentine, run. Or kind of a Carlos, too.
neither of them need to be in a long-term relationship right now.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
But then Carlos says something that very few people in 90 Day Fiancé history ever say. He says the opposite of what most people say. And he says, you know, I plan, they make up because Carl says, you look beautiful in red. And then they start talking about how sexy the other person is.
Yeah.
It's the only person that's what they can do. Connect about. But Carla, or Valentine's, just says, you know, I was going to propose, but I'm not going to propose until we get along better. And I went,
that's something.
The first time
that's
we've
gross.
Ever heard that. How many people have had a huge fight say, I think it'll be better if I ask her to marry me?
Yeah. I have a feeling he's still.
Jorge.
I think he's still going to try to propose.
I think at the end he's going to have a change of heart. Yeah. I think. We'll see. Valentine doesn't like to be tamed.
God. Can we talk about. Can we talk about Ariana Sherlin? Or Ooh. Say we did and don't?
Y'all, all I know is. They showed a clip of next week, and the moms are going to be there. And Sherlon's mother just looks like Sherlon in drag.
And a blonde wig.
With the blonde wig with that same kind of sad face and long nose, and I am fucking here for it. I am and here for
we've,
it.
We've got Mama Karen with her windswept, crazy dry hair.
Yes, and her sun-soaked skin. Y'all, she loves going to that community pool and tanning.
I just want to, God, maybe it is the chlorine in that pool that does that to that hair.
Oh, it is. Oh, yeah.
Because she's, I just, boy, oh, hot oil treatment or just a good rich conditioner would do so much.
The Lola V.
That's expensive, though. You don't even need that.
Yeah, that's
some
true.
VO5.
That's true.
You can buy that at CVS.
An Aussie hair mask.
Yes.
Remember when we did an Aussie ad for our Australian shows? I enjoyed that.
I called this Further Down the Dark Hallway. That was this
That's
segment.
That's what they called you in college.
The Dark Hallway.
There goes a dark hallway, boys.
Hey, boys, come on down. It gets... You get farther and farther away.
I got stuck in there for a week, y'all.
Everybody winds up good, though.
So... Ariana's like, so yeah, he admitted to sleeping with other women, and I made that clear that I'm no okay with that. Y'all, it's kind of the same, this whole thing, I wrote a lot of notes, but it's really just the same beat of everything.
I didn't. I'm to a point now where he has told her everything. He actually now is saying to her face what he would not before.
So I will say, yeah, you do see that, talk about dense.
Also,
but
she.
I don't think he's been cool. He. I don't. Think
he hasn't been crystal clear with her,
and has because he.
Which you have to be with Ariana.
He's a fuck boy.
Yeah,
and he's yes. He has not been clear with his word. You have to be very clear with Ariana. Yeah.
This is the other thing. What he said. She's like. He told me that I was his girlfriend, and blah 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 blah. I wonder if he said the exact words.
Oh, that's true. Like, if she said it, he went, yeah, that's it.
Uh-huh. I wonder if he ever said that.
Please, do they do, they don't do a reunion of this, do they?
No, they don't.
God, I would love
It'd be fun
Sean
this
Robinson
season.
To do a reunion.
I think that's one of those things that Sherlon does not say.
I bet you anything,
the GF word... I bet you that's probably not
like
in his vocabulary.
He doesn't say that word a lot.
And I have a feeling Ariana made that up.
As soon as she said it,
I went, I don't think he called you that.
No, I think you're right. And because...
Now, you're the mother of his child, which you
father,
immediately think...
Yeah, mother, yeah.
You immediately think that means you're together. He don't see it that way.
Yeah. Oh, he's the father of your child. You said mother.
Sorry.
The father. Yes. But he doesn't. It is. Again, it's this whole thing of. And I don't know if it's a cultural thing, but no matter what, it's this. I don't think everywhere in the world assumes just because you
get
someone pregnant that you're going to be father to
this
that
is,
child.
This is 1950s convent thinking.
But
this is.
Like, it's. Terrible.
Yeah.
And so, but anyway,
you mean you get someone pregnant, you marry them, and that's
yeah,
it. That's
yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
what we're saying.
I don't know in the rest of the world if
I think probably in still very insular Catholic cultures, yes, but not in Quincy, Illinois.
Yeah.
It's just assumed that if this happens, especially if he's in Jamaica, what's going to happen?
What's going to happen?
Yeah.
And y'all, of course, they thought they were going to get, he said it's going to be better. And then she sees his phone's blowing up.
Who is blah, 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 this female? And then she, did you hear her say, who's Shanika, baby? He's like, that's someone I just kind of know. I just call everybody baby.
He does go, he totally does We
actually had some other screenshots of Sherlon's phone that he tried to explain.
Yeah, there was Shanika, baby.
This is Lori Huge Tits.
Lori, yes.
There was also Pretty Pussy Pink.
Pretty Pussy Pink. And then there was just three hearts, and it said, dad ass. She texts a lot.
And that was his proctologist.
Yeah, exactly. So, who knew? Not a hookup.
No.
Not a hookup.
No.
So...
he had an explanation for everything.
She's like, she says to him, like, they're sitting down. She's like, well, maybe you can just chill with your resort.
You can just chill with your...
And Sherlock kind of comes in here and says, shut the fuck up and listen. And I went, slow your roll.
Yeah.
Don't talk to her like that. But then Ariana finally says, you've been playing the fuck out of me. She's like, your phone is buzzing all night. Like, literally, y'all, it is like... I think Sherlon's like, I've used this analogy before, but I think it's true. It's either going to be like Ty's phone or like Catherine O'Hara's character in Best in Show.
Yeah.
Where everywhere they go, she meets somebody else she fucks.
She fucked.
And yeah. Eugene Levy's got like, oh, it's so funny, y'all. It's so funny.
I always feel a lot of simpatico with her. And yes. That because and like because
he runs into a guy, he's like, hey, last time I saw you, remember
that truck stop in Dubuque?
She's like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all, it is so good. It's so fucking funny.
And but, Eugene Levy's like, what?
What? But that is Sherlock.
I want to point out though, this rage that she and this kind of righteous anger she seems to have, it never goes anywhere.
Because it comes from an inauthentic place.
Yes,
not truth.
Thank you.
That's why.
And that's y'all. I think we would kind of
truth, but it's not their right. truth.
I think we would kind of respect her if she just went, you know what? I have enough respect for myself to know I'm being treated this way. And
I think speaking of somebody, the edits, she probably thinks that she's going to get the edit as like a great mother who's trying to do the right thing for her kid. And I think she actually is a. It seems like she is very involved with her kids. Seems like she is.
Yeah,
a great
mother. I can't speak to that. I could not say she's a bad mother or a good mother.
She's a great mother, but I think that she's a great mother, but I don't think she has any type. It's. I would want to tease out from her. Why does being a good mother mean you have to be in a married relationship with the
with
father?
Your...
Can those things? Can him having a separate life and you being a great mother
no,
coexist?
No, that has been our whole point this whole season.
But the fact that she can't just
she conflates
tease
those
that
two
out.
Things.
Yeah, it's
she conflates the love that of that the relation that the child must know that the if their father and the mother are not together, they must know they tried as hard as they could
yeah.
to stay together. But like Game of Thrones, they were kept apart.
Kept apart, but. And then, but Sherlon says...
By fuck buddies.
Sherlon says...
Dad
you know,
ass.
Is she, dad ass. Hard. And he said, I know she doesn't get that's the man that I am, the man that I've been, and it's the man I'm going to be. It's the man I am. If she doesn't get that, then I don't know what to say. And I went, she doesn't get that because you're not
you,
fucking straight
you're,
with her.
You're not actually telling her all that.
And you are. You're that
that's very
fuck
true.
Boy who doesn't want someone to be mad at you.
Yep.
So you always want to tell her what she wants to hear.
The problem is he's saying things like, we need to work on this relationship. We need to work on this.
But he has no specific. Who else did that bothered us so much?
Mike said, we got to work on our problems. But here's the thing.
Shrug shoulders.
Here's what I think he's meaning by that. And I'm not trying to give him a lot of credit here. I think what he's doing is saying, I'm going to talk you out of having a relationship with me so we can both be co-parents and somehow work this out.
He agreed, because he never
says. She says, we're going to be a family. We're going to be together.
No.
Yeah.
And he just, because he does. He wants to, he's just going to keep, as you say, moving the goalposts,
goal
kicking the can until finally she's sick of chasing
yep.
it. That's exactly what he's going to do. Because if he wanted to work on things, he would say, I'm going to work on this and this and this and this
right.
and this.
Y'all, Miss Karen is coming, her mom, and she's going to watch Odin.
I just want to say real quick, Ariana says, again, but I get it. She's like in love, well, not with him, but she's in love with the idea of him. Because she says, when I came down here before, you were so complimentary to me. You told me how gorgeous I was. Yeah, because you were there on a bang trip.
Yep.
And of course
he wanted to fuck
you. He wanted to fuck you. And she's like,
how
I feel like.
How can she be?
She said, well, it's not that she's dumb. It's that he played.
Is it not?
No. It's that she's a walking wound of insecurity still. And she even said so herself. And she said, I come down here now. And that's when she started crying. She said, you act like you're not attracted to me anymore. Because she thinks her attraction is just her body.
Yeah.
Even though it's not true. But that's what she thinks. And because she's gained weight since this baby, she feels like that now. I bet you if you had a serious conversation with Ariana for like an hour, at the end of it, she would say it's her fault that Sherlyn's not attracted to her.
Oh, yeah.
She blames herself.
I say she's dumb when that's in parlance. We say that dumb person is, that's what I'm saying.
But, well, she is dumb in that it's, again, it's so
everyone in
that
the world.
Everyone knows he's not into her. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's that Trisha Yearwood song.
What?
Everybody knows.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Everybody knows what to do about my misery. Everybody but me.
Oh, I don't think I know that one.
It's a great, it's a hit of her. Great
okay.
Trisha Yearwood song.
That Ooh. Sounds, it sounds kind of familiar, but.
Her new album is good, y'all.
That Every Girl in This Town song.
Yes, and my favorite track from that is Working on Whiskey. Oh, it's so good. She just wails. We should go see her live.
I like her a lot.
Have you ever seen Garth Brooks live?
I've seen him one time, and it was one of the best concerts I've ever seen in my life.
One of the best one I've seen, too.
We need to move on.
We do.
So, I've got to say, so Miss Karen comes, her mom, and that hair.
That hair.
And she tells mom about the paternity papers. And
that
mom,
he couldn't do it because he couldn't get to a FedEx.
And I got to say, y'all, Miss Karen needs to be in the local production of the Quincy Little Theater because what a performance by an actress in a supporting role. I've just got to say.
You know what? She knew her lines and she delivered them as she should have and what she needed
says,
to do.
She's like, she does say, she's like, and you know what, Mom? Sherlon has been seeing other women. And she goes, you're kidding. Mom knows this. She is doing the best she can not to say I told you so, and good for her.
It's why her
not
sisters
to do
didn't
that.
Come this time, because they would have been Ari. And she's like, no. She's like, yeah. So they're, and she, Karen totally goes into, y'all, her name is Karen, so we're not calling her Karen.
No.
She's not a Karen.
Miss Karen.
Miss Karen. And she makes a good point, y'all, and this is true. Because she talks about the papers. She said, it just said it was too inconvenient. And she says, and this is so true, when someone cares about you, nothing's inconvenient.
That's true.
That is the damned truth, y'all. If you're with a guy right now, and you're like, he just says he's so busy, and he's trying to do it, but he's not busy, doesn't have enough time for me, da-da-da, he's not into you.
It's
in the first part of the relationship, and people are busy. And I'm saying, like, not a guy who wants to spend every day with you. That's probably your own
need. No, but I want to clarify. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But, like, if someone says things like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm just so – if you keep proposing things and they say, oh, I'm just so sorry. I'm busy. And then they don't follow up with another proposal.
Which is Sherlon.
That means they're not into you. And you know what? That's fine because not everyone's going to be into you. You're not going to be into anybody else. But I promise you this, you guys. If you propose something, they say can't do it, and you keep doing it, if they don't come back to you with a separate thing, just call it a wash and go fuck a bartender.
Yes. bring a plan B or birth control because you don't want to be Ariana.
But or condoms.
We're talking about someone.
Condoms, Rose, condoms.
So good. I love that we're talking about someone who we're talking about people using the dating example of a guy or whatever you're trying to get to go to dinner. Let's put this in context. Ariana's asking don't forget, the father of the baby to just send a paper to her so she can put his name on the birth certificate of his son.
Yeah.
And this is too inconvenient for him.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Karen. I know he said, but I work every day and this. I'm sorry.
For take a
this,
personal day.
You could take a fucking day off.
Or is your mom that busy? Go.
This is what I think. Do you think next week when we see the mom, do you think she's going to hold Sherlon to the fire or make excuses for him as well?
Make excuses for him. There's a reason why he's the way he is.
There's a reason why he's the way he is, yeah.
Yeah. I'll be surprised.
Unless his mother holds him to the fire and is militant about it, and maybe a part of him hates women, and that's why he doesn't have any respect for them.
Did you see the way he was dressed? He is looking his best for his mommy.
So I think his mom is not going to hold. Yeah, I think she's going to make excuses as well.
Should we talk about Abby Gabby? No Frankie anymore because I don't think we're ever going to see Frankie again.
I don't think we're going to see Frankie again. No way. Because that is not the story of the show. The story is of Abby and Gabby.
And Gabby. The ballad of Abby and Gabby.
The ballad of Abby and Gabby.
The ballad of Gabba Gabba Ababa.
We're too tired and we don't have the voice, but we almost could do a reality gaze opera theater of the two of them, but I don't have him in me, y'all.
So, do you guys think Gabby in her confessional looks like someone right out of Like Water for Chocolate? You've never seen that movie. She's like the ghost of the aunt who's like, Peppa, you will do what I say. She's got that long hair and that really severe makeup.
Yes, yes.
She looks like she's just crawled out of the sea. If you've ever seen the movie Like Water for Chocolate and the aunt who died, you'll know what I'm talking about. You're screaming. That's not a spoiler, actually. I think it's the aunt. Have you seen that movie? It's a fabulous movie. It's a great book, too.
Okay.
You're not a fan of Mexican fiction.
No, I remember when it came out and everybody talked about it.
Yeah, okay. When it came out and everyone talked about it.
I didn't see it.
So. I didn't investigate.
But Darkwing Duck was real good, though. So, okay.
I got really into Mexican and Latin American literature in high school.
Oh, okay.
And magical realism.
I've read Isabel Allende. I've read her.
Yeah.
But that she's Spanish, I think.
No.
Or is she Mexican?
South American.
But that's just because she wrote a book about Zorro, which I enjoyed. Very much so.
Wow!
Loved it. It was a great Zorro book.
House of Spirits.
Not familiar.
I know.
Not familiar.
I know.
So, all right. So, Frankie's not there.
They're getting off the boat.
And Abby's like, I'm so upset that Frankie's friend told him all of my business to Gabby. And then
she revealed my con.
I'm just going to say this, and then I'm going to hand it to Poodle. The music swells, and Abby just looks at Gabby. I'm sorry, Mama Con. Gabby looks at Abby and says, for tonight, we will say goodbye.
I need to talk to you, my love. Give me some epic music. I need something
to go.
Well, fine. I guess it'll all be up to me as usual.
Fine.
As soon as I saw you on the coast of Guadalajara, looking like a beautiful mussel coming out of the ocean, and I, like the seahawk, perched on the tree, ripped you out of the clutches of the sea and made you mine. You have hurt me very much, Abby. You are the one that I love, like a sea turtle loves her mate before he fertilizes her eggs. She then goes to, I don't know what this is. She climbs up ashore, lays her gelatinous eggs into the sand, buries them. Abby, you have stomped on my eggs. There will be no baby turtles this season.
Wow!
I don't know if you're a good person or not, but I'm a good person. Love whoever you want, for you have destroyed the turtle eggs of my heart. I will love who I want. Farewell. Adieu. I am now to the bottom of the sea I go. And scene. I don't know where I went with the turtle thing, but I thought she was going there. Very elemental witch. I'm telling y'all, look up Light Water for Chocolate. That's the ant. That's everything you need to know.
It's chef's kiss watching her.
I love her.
She's just...
You failed me, Abby.
You can tell why Baby Con wants to leave her mother, because her mother's bonkers.
I know. But she is such good television.
She's amazing television.
God, it's like telenovela, like height. Yeah,
it's so height.
I can't get enough. I would watch a whole show of Gabby.
And she walks away, and Gabby just doesn't cry, y'all. She like...
Oh, Abby, you mean.
Or, yeah, Baby Con. And I only know them as Mama Con and Baby Con.
I know.
Because I still think they're mother and daughter. Because that's why you'd cry that way if your mother just loved it.
I think
she cried. At one point, she goes... It screams, yes. And then cries some more. Y'all, Poodle called, and I agree with you, ain't no drama like lesbian drama.
And I can, it almost like there needs to be like a footage of it saying, next time on The Voyage of the Sea Turtle. That's the telenovela.
I'm telling you this now, when they play this on TLC, because not everybody still has Discovery Plus.
Yeah.
When they play this on TLC, I think they're going to blow up.
I think
there's going to be so many memes and stuff about them.
Probably.
They're just so fucking amazing to watch on
television.
Oh, it's
so good. You failed me.
It's time we say goodbye.
And all of those confessional looks that are, her eyeliner is so dark and her hair is kind of like swept back.
She looks like she just was someone that crawled out of a Zoltar machine.
She's so dramatic. Is very intense.
Yeah, very intense.
Yeah, no, she is an elemental spirit somehow.
Yes, I agree.
Brought forth. She's not a person.
She's not.
She's very old. She's ancient.
She's ancient.
One of the ancient ones.
Yes.
She's been many things in past lives.
Y'all.
I think I'm still woozy from Denver.
Yeah, it's true. Ron, I don't think you read those. Did you ever read those children's books, Over Sea, Over Stone, and all that?
No.
They're all about like mythical, like people from the
No,
sea.
She's a Gorgon.
Yeah.
She's like a siren or something like that.
Yeah, a siren, yeah.
She goes way back. She's older than all of us.
I think her hair looks like that. It looks like that. Not her confessional look. Ironically,
that confessional look is perfect.
But her confessional look... Her hair looks so bad because I don't know if they just took it out of the dreads. But
they took it out, and it looks
natural hair, but it's kind of clumpy.
Yeah, it looks fake.
Maybe they're actual snakes in hiding.
I think it is
because she's
That's the show, y'all.
That's the show, everybody. All right, y'all. We've got one more. We're gonna be doing 90 Day Fiancé tomorrow on Sunday, so those episodes will air this week, and we'll have pre-recorded episodes of Below Deck this week.
Yes,
Below Deck Med and Below Deck Dananda.
Badoo.
But that's all you're getting from us this week, y'all, because we're taking a vacation.
We're taking a vacay.
Don't Facebook us. Don't Instagram us.
Actually, you can. We just want to answer.
If your Patreon completely implodes and shuts down and your RSS, I'm sorry, y'all. We're not going to be here. You got to contract Patreon or post a thing in the Facebook group.
The Facebook group, the Sissy Squad will still be open.
Sissy Squad is open. We already closed that a week earlier because we decided...
It would not work.
Yeah.
Carl's wives would implode.
That would implode. I'd be somewhere in Big Sur and a raven would drop a letter and I would open it and it would just say, Carl! And I'd be like, how did they find me? Anyway, y'all, Have a wonderful, wonderful week. But we'll see you next week with 90 Day Fiancé. And until then, we call these people lonely hearts. Because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love at the bottom of the sea or any other wrong place that we can look, poodle?
Yes. And like the sea wind blows over the coast, I again will return to my watery domain to sink ships and to exercise my will on all the creatures of the ocean floor.
Call us.
Call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.